Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you are a God who is so gracious. Lord, who gave us your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, as we meditate on his first coming and his second coming, Lord, help us to learn how to walk humbly with you. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. Well, Pastor Brian asked me a few weeks ago, he said, don't know when this baby's going to come, but can you be ready? I said, sure. Fortunately, I had reasonable notice both times of, okay, don't need to worry about it. And then this one was scheduled, so it was pretty clear that I was going to preach. So I'm going to preach on the final section of the sermon, of the past three sermons, which is from Micah 6:8. What does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God? What I'm going to do is I'm going to take that walk humbly with your God. That's the third theme. We talked first about doing justice, and then we talked about loving kindness, and the loving kindness, the hesed, the steadfast love of the Lord. And now we're going to talk about walking humbly with our God. And so we're going to take each word. Each word's significant here. And we're going to parse it a bit and try to understand it. So first, walk. Here we're talking about doing something. We're not talking about being humble. We're talking about walking. And we're not supposed to, to stay still, but to walk. And sometimes even run. This is something where I'd say we're not supposed to be passive about our relationship with the Lord. I've got a few scripture passages here that I think help draw that out. Psalm 23, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I know you're with me. We walk sometimes through valleys. They're not often valleys of our choosing, but we still need to walk. And the good news is we walk through them. We don't stay in them, but we walk through them. And at times, we're going to run. Hebrews 12, let us run with perseverance the race that's set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. And so we walk through valleys. We sometimes run toward the Lord himself. And then we have a final goal. And that's from Revelation 21. It's very appropriate in Advent to be talking about the final being with the Lord. I'm going to read it here. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of the Lord gives it light, and its lamp is the Lamb. By its light will the nations walk, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. And its gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. They will bring into it the glory and honor of the nations, but nothing unclean will ever enter, nor anyone who does what is detestable or false, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So we're going to walk into heaven. We're all going to be coming in. We don't know exactly how this timing is all going to work. We have these images, but we know that we're going to be ending a journey. We're going to pass through something that's very difficult, death, but we're going to then come out and we're going to be walking into this heavenly city. C.S. Lewis, in the Narnia Chronicles, talks about further up and further in. The song From Heaven's Light picks that up. And he has this image where they come to heaven and they just keep going up until they see this city and this place of joy. And so walking is something we do in our lives. It's very important. Okay, let's see if we get our clicker. Walk humbly. Okay, so we're going to build here. We're going to walk humbly. Now, what is humility? I almost pulled up a little Eeyore video, but I said, well, it's not quite on target. But Eeyore is kind of everybody's image of this kind of moping, depressed guy, donkey. Poor Eeyore. So you walk humbly, and oh, we just, you know, oh, well, I just kind of, woe is me. That's what humble means. And that's not what humility is. Humility is something very, very different. We talked in our Emotions in the Christian Life course about true and false humility. And so there we say false humility is this kind of depressed, woe is me, I'm not really any good. That's not true humility. True humility is actually an accurate picture and reflection of yourself. And it has its opposite. And that's what we're going to read here. C.S. Lewis, Mere Christianity, he calls pride the worst sin. In our morning readings at our house, we've been reading through some Advent readings, and they're mostly C.S. Lewis. And this came up just yesterday. And I said, oh, this is good. He says, I now come to that part of Christian morals where they differ most sharply from all other morals. There is one vice of which no man in the world is free, which everyone in the world loathes when he sees it in someone else, and of which hardly any people except Christians ever imagine that they are guilty themselves. And that's pride. I've heard people admit that they are bad, bad-tempered, that they cannot keep their heads about girls or drink, or even that they're cowards. I do not think I have ever heard anyone who is not a Christian accuse himself of this vice. And at the same time, I have very seldom met anyone who is not a Christian who showed the slightest mercy to it in others. There is no fault which makes a man more unpopular, and no fault which we are more unconscious of in ourselves. And the more we have it in ourselves, the more we dislike it in others. That vice that I'm talking about is pride or self, self-conceit. And the virtue opposite to it in Christian morals is called humility. So we're to walk humbly. And that's choosing to take that lower place, to not look for that high place. I recently looked at a short video from a professor at Hillsdale College who wrote a book that was talked about that greatest democratic virtue, humility. And he talked, is a political science professor, probably a Christian, but I don't know for sure. And he talked and he said, our country is founded on this democratic virtue of humility. And he particularly singled out James Madison, George Washington, Abraham Lincoln, and Frederick Douglass. Frederick Douglass, the abolitionist, a black man who was quite well known. And he talked about Frederick Douglass. And he said the man had a very hard upbringing and beginning. He was the son of the slave owner and his mother. They were not married, and he doesn't even know the day he was born, the birth date that he was born. And he came out of that, and instead of choosing a life of anger, he chose a life of humility. He said, I'm no better than these other people, but I'm not any worse either. And so he knew himself. He walked humbly. And that final true humility, we just all said. We said in our confession, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, echoing that man in the temple, in the synagogue, who said, if you remember, the Pharisee said, oh Lord, I thank you, I'm not like this other man. He's got problems, he's a sinner. And the other man said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That's really helpful in our walk. So we walk humbly. And we walk humbly with. With is an important word. It's not just this little nice connector. We're not supposed to be alone. We're on a journey, but we're walking with. Now, we're familiar with the triangle. Pastor Brian likes to use it quite often. It's a good image. We have God. We have you. We have others. But if God is just up there, which a lot of people relate to God as, he's just up there, and I am down here, and I have to sort out my life. And I've got others, these others that are poor souls journeying on. I hope they are okay. We need the with. We need connection. And so we need those arrows. Those are with arrows. We have to go up to God. We have a relationship with him. God has a relationship with us. It's a two-way connection here. We have connections with one another. So when we walk humbly with, there's a sense that we're walking humbly with one another as well as with God. Okay, we walk humbly with our. Some translations use your, but both are making the same point. This is a term of possession. And we like to possess things. Has anybody seen the recent Hobbit movie? Gollum. Gollum loved to possess one thing. Only one thing. What did he call it? My precious. It's my precious, my birthday present. So Gollum wanted one thing, and he called it his. There was one problem. It wasn't his. It wasn't even his birthday present. It was found by his friend Deagle, who Gollum then murdered in order to have his precious. And that precious gave him life. But it was a life, a futile life. And so what we possess is very important. And so when we say our, are we walking humbly with ourself? Are we walking humbly with our friend? Are we walking humbly with all those nice things as cars and houses and everything else? That our is important. Okay, finally, we walk humbly with our God. The Levites, they were one of the tribes of Israel. What's unique about the Levites? I'm sorry? They did not possess any land. Every other tribe had land. So if you go on a map of Israel, you'll see 12 divisions, but that's because two of them get one son, offspring of one son. But there are really only 11 tribes in a certain way that had the land of the original 12. The Levites had a possession, but their possession was God. And the Lord said, I am your possession. So Psalm 16 says, is often called the Psalm of a Levite, because it talks about having God as my possession, having God as something that belongs to me in a certain way. Revelation 21. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with men. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. That is amazing. We can claim God as our own. It's a mystery. Why does God do this? It makes no sense on a human level. He chooses us and says, I will be your God. And guess what? He's going to wipe away every tear from their eyes. And there's not going to be any more death. There's not going to be any more mourning, nor crying, nor pain. Because those former things have passed away. Our Old Testament reading that Sarah read earlier today and earlier this morning was from Isaiah 35. And it gives a picture of heaven. And it says, the lame are going to leap like a deer. And there will be a highway. It's called the highway to Zion. So there's this picture of heaven. And so this highway is something that we're on. We're on this journey. And we're walking humbly. We're saying, oh Lord, be merciful to me. I'm a poor, miserable sinner. And we're hearing God say, no, you're my beloved. And yes, when you say that, it shows who you are, and that's true. But more importantly, when you walk humbly with me, you know who you are. You're one that's created, chosen, who is walking on a journey with a clear destination, a clear hope. And that's in heaven, where we will be with him forever. And how did we get there? Through the mercy and grace of our God, through Jesus Christ. So let's, as we conclude in the following week or so, our Advent journey, let's remember that we can walk humbly with our God. Amen.